Okay, well, how are we doing today? Too early to tell. Okay. Maybe I shouldn't ask this because we might not get to the lesson. But did you make it to the rally last night? Okay. Yeah, it's hard to miss that, right? Could you sleep after you heard all that? Yeah, I was going to say, that's a danger. But sometimes you go, for those who are visitors, there was our Christian radio station here in town, WVCY puts on a rally in the winter month, or I guess it's almost winter around here. and they had a speaker talking about the Great Reset and some of the things that the government and other people have got planned for us, and sometimes that can you go, oh man. Yeah, oh, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping that they will post that. I don't know how long, but did they say? Oh. Okay. They usually have the old ones up so that you can watch them. And some news like that's probably not going to change that much in a couple of weeks. But
are you sure?
Well, I was going to say, at least it, and probably not for the better. So, okay. All right. So we're going to look here at, wow, this is a good lesson, huh? Danger ahead. Here in a minute. Any particular prayer requests? Yeah, Mike?
Yeah, continue to pray for my brother-in-law, Felix. We're going to put him in assisted living. Probably another week or so. And also for my son-in-law, James, with a lump on his neck, coming out of his cancer. We are going to do another biopsy.
Okay, so they're still kind of in the discovery stage to figure out what they're working with and what. Oh, okay. All right. Now, is this short term for Felix or is that? Don't know. Yeah, okay. All right. Mark? Okay. All right. How's Margie today? Oh, no. Not that again. Bob, got one of them B12 pills? Or? Okay. All right. Anything else? I did get a note. After a while, I get kind of inundated here lately, it seems like, with stuff, but did get a note from Rebecca Fruin, Remember, she was in Ukraine, bailed out, was in Poland helping, and did get a note back from her. Maybe I can pass that on to you, email or something. But she's back part-time in Kyiv in her apartment. I was wondering if she had to keep paying rent for something that she couldn't be at or how that worked out. And then she's also working in some kind of a sounds like a resettlement camp for people that are out of their homes, trying to help out there. So, okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for an opportunity to study your word here together. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be alert, to know the signs of the times, and to realize some of the things that are going on. Not that we can change things in and of ourselves, but we know that you have the power and you're ultimately in control of what happens in our lives, but also in our nation and around the world, and we trust you for that. We do think of these specific requests here today with Mike's brother-in-law, Felix. We pray that you'd help him to get adjusted to this assisted living, and that as he makes progress from the stroke, that might eventually be able to get back home again. We pray for James and his wife and family, as they're no doubt concerned about this cancer that's been found, and pray that you give the doctors wisdom as they run various tests, biopsies, to know exactly what they're dealing with, where it's coming from, and how best to deal with it. And we pray that your will might be accomplished there in his life. We thank you for the many people that were able to go to the rally last night, and that, as Mark said, that they wouldn't just kind of blow it off, oh well, you know, let go. But they would, if there's changes they need to make in their own hearts and lives. We pray that we might be tuned up spiritually. We don't always know what's coming down the road next, and it's a lot of it's not good. And we pray that we be spiritually strong and able to handle what comes our way. For Michael, Paul, and Kayla, Bob, we pray that you'd help them make right decisions here in the days ahead. They continue to look to you for guidance. Pray for Mark's mom, too, that she continue to be open to the gospel and that she continue to look at these study booklets and scriptures, and your Holy Spirit would be working on her and help her see her sin in need of a Savior. For Allie and Mark, unspoken requests, I pray that your will, again, might be accomplished there in their lives and that particular need. We ask that you guide us in our study now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're looking at 2 Peter here today, chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Danger ahead. Okay. That's not posted at the bottom of the hill down here, but it it could be, I guess. With a little rough ride coming up the hill. One of these days it'll be all slick and clean. We'll be happy for it. And they seem to be making pretty good progress. So that'd be great. That was fixed before the winter come. Well, our key verse is found there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So, you know, sometimes we've got this idea that everything was just fine and dandy back in Peter and Paul's day. They didn't have the problems that we deal with. Well, they may not have an open border and drugs coming across the border and all kinds of inflation or whatever. But they had false teachers. And he's saying we had them back then, and have we outgrown that yet today? No. No, it's still out there. And you know, Peter's trying to give people a heads up on this, lest they be led astray. Because sometimes, well, how do people kind of get hooked into these false doctrines anyway? Is it? Okay, yeah. I don't know if it's on the shelf anymore, but I had a book that was almost the title. It was called The Truth Twisters, and it talked about the various cults. And what often happens is they take a little bit of truth and a little bit of error. There's enough truth in there to make people think, well, that sounds okay. But they don't seem to recognize the false part and mix it together. And if you got somebody that's a bit charismatic type person to share this, people tend to fall for it. And they don't check things out themselves and just kind of rely on what somebody else is saying. Well, they're on TV or they're on the radio, and so it must be right, okay? Yeah. Oh, what's in it for me? Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, he says they're here, you know. It's not just something that's coming, you know, like the fall flu season or colds or whatever. He says they're already here. They're already among us. And and they're going to be with you too, and on into the future. And they're bringing with them damnable heresies. What's a heresy anyway? I didn't say a bad hair day. I just said, what's a heresy? Gail? Yeah. Okay. Right. You want? Pardon? A fib, lie, false doctrines, false teachings, something contrary to what Scripture is going to teach. You know. Okay. Now, how are you going to recognize this person? Yes, well. Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you've all probably heard that illustration when they're trying to train well, maybe I shouldn't be talking about the FBI, but anyway, for the people who are looking for counterfeit money, they don't show them all the different kinds of counterfeit money. They have them hone in on the real thing. So when something comes along that doesn't look like the real thing, they realize that's the problem, okay? And so that's what you're saying. We need to know Scripture. So that when something comes along, it doesn't sound quite right, doesn't look right, it's probably not right. And, you know, we can focus in on it. Mark? The
Bible says you shall know them by their fruits.
Okay.
That means the character of their walk, if they're deciding to have Lear jets and all kinds of
yeah.
Motorcades, wherever they're going, what have you, maybe prosperity, type things in the preaching.
Yeah, I was, I don't know if I find that on here now or not, but I was curious to see, okay, what's false teachings today? You know, because I'm not up on every false ones out there, you know, but they zeroed in on some of these things. I don't know if that's going to show up here or not. Well, okay, that's merchandising. Let me see what the other one said here. Okay, here, seven false teachings in the church today. And the heretic, okay? dangerous, you know, again, teaching something other than what the Word of God tells them. The charlatan, that's kind of what you are saying here. Only interested in the Christian faith to the extent that it can fill their wallet. Okay? Some of them are kind of in it for the money. The prophet. What would be the prophet? What would he be doing?
Yeah. Presuming. Yeah.
Yeah. He meant, well, some of you won't remember, but what wasn't it? 88 reasons why the Lord has to come back in 1988 or something like that.
I mean, there's Daniel, right? Daniel Harrison did when he talked about the gospel. Okay,
right.
The main thing that all you need to know to be saved. But in even in evangelical world, there's different little things that they don't all agree on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just because some you might not agree on something doesn't necessarily make them a heretic. Yeah. You know, the abuser. You know, they talk about people abusing, often sexually, those that are under their care. The divider, they coming in and disrupt and divide up churches. That's why you have Galilee Baptist Church. Greater Galilee Baptist Church, three blocks down the road. Even Greater Galilee Baptist Church, further on down the road. The tickler, one that just tells you what you want to hear, make you feel good, get that warm, fuzzy feeling before you leave. The spectacular, the ones that are, you know, got to have something new and flashy, and, you know, they're coming up with some new idea on everything. Anyway, that's just a few of them there. But They're still out there. And it wasn't just Peter that came across these guys. Paul came across them as well. And it was mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. He says, describe them as grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So they come in to pretty much devour those unsuspecting people. And so we see that warning there. And some of the signs, you know, again, when I was saying, how are we going to recognize them? Well, because they're not teaching the truth. We have to know what the truth is. But they're not going to come in with some kind of a advertisement, a warning around their neck. Some of the things that they do, he says here, first of all, there's going to be denying, okay? They're going to deny certain things about Scripture, and as Mike mentioned here, certain truths about the gospel itself. He said they're going to deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So they're deceptive in the way that they go about their teaching, destructive. And these are not just opinions that people might differ on from various topics, but it's those things that are actually contrary to the Scriptures. You know, God's Word says this, they're saying something completely opposite of that. And after a while, it begins to destroy people's faith in the Bible. You know, you hear people say, well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but, now they may not come out and do it like that, but it's, they're reading something else into the Scriptures or taking something else away from it. Pray on those that, again, don't know the difference. I haven't done a lot of door-to-door work for quite some time. People tend to not want to answer the door or talk to you at the door. But in years past, I've come across several people that ended up like in Jehovah's Witnesses or something like that, you know. And I said, well, you know, did you start out in that church? Is that where you grew up in? Oh, no. And then they named some particular denomination or whatever. But somewhere along the line, somebody came, knocked on their door, offered to have a Bible study with them and that sort of thing. And they didn't know the truth, so when they come along, somebody come along and tell, feeding them another line, they bought it hook, line, and sinker, you know, because, hey, it's in their Bible, you know. And so, the way it was explained to them made sense, and they bought into it. But here he says they're denying the Lord that bought them. They're denying the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe what ways might you deny the redemptive work of Christ, that Christ finished the work? Yes.
You could deny the deity of Christ.
Okay. That he was a really good person, he was a prophet or whatever, but, you know, he really wasn't that much different than we are. Okay. All right. So if he's not God, then when he died on the cross, then it didn't accomplish much more than what you or I would, right? Okay. He wouldn't have been that perfect sacrifice. What else?
You can have works in the
end. Yeah, okay. That's one of them. I like to, if I get opportunity to talk to people, well, you know, if the Lord were to let you into his heaven, you know, what reason would you give, you know? And usually it's I go to church, I sang in the choir, I taught Sunday school, and they're leaning, depending on those things that they've done to get them into heaven. And if you could get in by yourself, then wouldn't that have been kind of useless for God to have Christ die on the cross for you if you could do it all by yourself? You know, but most people aren't thinking that far, because everything else in life you got to work for, right? Well, used to be. Now you can sit at home and they'll send you a check. But, okay. And then there are those that not only you may have to work for your salvation, or okay, you were saved by grace, but you got to keep on working if you're going to keep that salvation, all right? We're adding something to what Christ did. When he said it's finished, he didn't really mean that, you know. We got to add to it, okay? What are some other things that people add? You have, how do we get to heaven? We believe, we trust Christ, and then what else, maybe? Works? Be good, okay? Splash, baptism. You know, you got to be baptized. You know, if you're gonna get in, and so, yeah, we start adding things to it, and so, you know, he doesn't go into depth here to explain all the different types of ways that they may have done it, and again, probably for good reason, because if you're just looking for those two or three things. And they come up with something else, then it's, oh, well, I didn't realize that one. Well, now you've kind of got your eyes open. You're looking for what they're denying. Well, what's their end? Is that going to work out good for them? No. It says that it shall bring upon them swift destruction. Wow. Now, this is not annihilation, but God's going to deal with them. Okay? And apparently here, they never really were born again. They weren't saved. And yet they're going to be brought to an everlasting ruin. And can a believer get off track? Yeah, we can be led astray. Well, if we're led astray, do we lose our salvation? No. Okay. If it was up to us, anybody else lose things or forget things? Today I have my keys wrapped around the memory stick on that thing, because I've shut everything else down, go home, I get home, oh, the memory stick is still at church, I wanted to add some to it. Yeah, so if it was up to us, we'd lose it, we'd forget or something, but, you know, God is the one who provided salvation for us. Yes, we have to believe, but he did everything that was necessary to accomplish that great work. And we see here, too, look on the end of verse 2 here. He says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And I don't know about you, but pernicious is not usually in my vocabulary. I don't know if they still do that or not. Used to be Reader's Digest. They had a little section, how to increase your word power. I should have worked on that more in the past. But anyway, pernicious. Unbridled lust. Okay? By reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Okay? So he's saying, he didn't say all of them, but many of them, these false teachers, they're also going to get wrapped up in lust. Have we seen any evidence of that? I realize it's going back a ways, and I'm sure there's a lot that's happened since then. But a couple of them stick in my mind. Jim Baker. Now I just forgot the other guy's name. Pardon? Starts with S. Swaggart, yeah. He cruising around in his limo, picking up ladies, you know, and yet he's still on TV. But, okay, they see that, people observe that. Okay, let's say you've been following this guy, and then you find out, you know, it's on the front page. What does that do to people, do to their followers? So I'm done with that bunch, you know. But they might just write off any kind of spirituality. And oftentimes there's a trickle-down effect, you know, even for other believers saying, you know, that's the way these people are. I don't want, you know, I can't trust any of them, you know. And it kind of rattles people, all right. That's why we have to make sure that we're not followers of men, okay. Because men will disappoint you, all right? I want to ask how many of you I've disappointed somewhere along the line. But, I mean, it happens, okay? We're not always going to do what the other person wants. I'm not saying it's sin, but this is one of their weak spots, okay? And if they're not truly saved, you can see how that could easily be brought into. Okay, then we come up to a third way that we might be able to recognize them. And he says, through covetousness. Now, what's covetousness all about? Want what they have. Envy. All right, what else? Okay, greed. Okay, now we're getting there. Okay, and this makes it sound like I'm taking pot shots at these guys, but I looked this up too, just for the fun of it. Let's see if I can find that one again. Merchandising the gospel. And I don't know if this is the same one or not, but it talks about, and I know there are some people that just, you know, love these guys, but, anyway. John Hagee, Cornerstone Church there in San Antonio, Texas, on 127 television stations, 82 radio stations. Their enterprise, this is 21 years old figures, $18 million it brought in. His personal salary benefit package. Folks, we can't afford him. $1.25 million. Oh, here's another one that some people like. Okay, Joyce Myers. I like the one that says she's the woman preacher who sounds like a gravelly voice waitress in a greasy spoon diner. I've only watched the lady once or twice, but marching back and forth, and it's like she hates men. She's married, but we're the bad guys. This makes it sound like I'm against wealth or anything, and I'm not. But okay, so they live in a 7,000 square foot house, 8 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms. Man, that's a lot of cleaning, you know. Presides over the $57 million teleministry empire. 400 television stations. But I mean, there's the list goes on and on, you know. But it's, and I haven't heard. Of course, I'm not listening to this stuff, so I don't know what they're selling today. But I've seen it and heard about it in the past, where if you know you send in $25, $50, whatever, they'll send you back a little bit of holy water, you know, or you can buy a handkerchief that will help heal you, you know, and yeah, it's rolling in the box, you know, and wait again back when. Bakers and those guys were into it, you know, and they started examining this. You know, the air-conditioned doghouse, everything in the house is gold-plated bathroom fixtures and everything else. And you know, little old ladies are sending in their Social Security checks to help them out. And yeah, so it can be a lucrative business, you know, and. Doesn't seem like any of them ever said, well, you know, we're big enough now, we'll just try to hold on to what we got and reach out and try to help others. It's, no, keep sending it in, you know. And so that's something, you know, that you can look out for. And but again, it says judgment's coming. It may, okay, because these guys are still on the air after 20, 30 years. I guess that means God's... it must be blessing them that they're never going to be judged. But no, that doesn't... Why does God sometimes... maybe that's not the right word, but postpone, delay judgment? Okay, so we can learn lessons. Okay, you can see the difference between the two, all right? God is, okay. Okay. God is long-suffering to usward, right? he get. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He delays judgment so that we might have a bit more opportunity to respond to the gospel, to recognize our sin, turn to the Lord. And, you know, God wants to save these guys too. It's not just come down with a hammer. He wants to see them turn and get saved. And so he's saying here, yeah, judgment's coming. But it's because of God's mercy that he's delayed this judgment. But it doesn't mean that it's not coming. We see some examples on how God judged sin. God does, you know, today, I don't know what their real excuse is, but some of these liberal district attorneys turn a blind eye, you know, okay, yeah, they murdered somebody, but, you know, we're not going to lock them up, you know, or rob, rape, whatever, you know, we just put them in that door that revolves them right back out on the street to do it all over again. And or we may call it something different than that. And yet God doesn't play those kind of games. God's not politically correct. He's not, and he's not worried about, you know, too many of the wrong colored person being in jail or whatever. Equity and all the some of the stuff they come out with. How did he treat his own angels that fell into sin? Did he just say, "Oh well"? Angels will be angels. Well, no, it didn't work that way, did it? No. They got drop kicked out of heaven here. They mention here when they sinned. We see here, looking in verse 4, he says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And some believe that that kind of ties in with Genesis 6, where some of the angels had basically taken on a human body so that they could have sexual relationships with women, and that's how we end up with some of the giants of Genesis 6. But, you know, they were followers of Satan. And some of these, though, because of their sin, the grievous sins, God's got them locked up, chained down. They're as far away from Him as they can get as far as being in the depths of hell. And, you know, sometimes it talks about, and I didn't look that one up, but it talks about them being under the Euphrates River, if I remember correctly on that. But they're confined to hell, okay? They're not out and about, you know, helping out the devil. They are in chains of darkness, or again, furthest extreme away, as far away from God as He can put them for right now. And that's just a temporary holding. Where's the devil and his angels and what's the end for them?
Lake of fire.
Okay, that doesn't just go poof and they're gone. Okay, well, how do we know for the people that, oh well, okay, so I'm going to go to hell and I'll just, you know, poof and it's all over with? What tells us that that's not what happens, Gail? Okay, all right. What about? Do you remember who got thrown into the lake of fire? Yeah, and 1,000 years later, they're still there. Okay, they're not. Their little ash urn isn't setting up on the shelf somewhere. Okay, they're still suffering 1,000 years later. Okay, then we go on here in verse 5. He says he spared not the old world. Okay, but saved Noah, the 8th person, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Okay, so God dealt with sin in Noah's day. What was it like in Noah's day? I was going to say, like today. What? Okay, so if Noah's day is like our day, and our day is like their day, is God just going to let it slide? No. He dealt with them then. There's no reason to believe that he is going to let this go on forever either. Okay? But in Noah's day, again, God intervened. He punished sin, as we see there. Only 8 people survive out of that, Noah and his family. All the unrighteousness, ungodly people are killed, drowned. They... Well, was it just because they didn't know any better? Were they told? Yeah. Old Noah, he probably sounded like a broken record. Oh, man. Here we go. Same old sermon. You know, heard that before. Okay? But it tells us there, it says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil. Okay? I mean, that's not just once in a while getting into trouble, but an ongoing attitude and behavior, their imagination. Okay, so if their imagination and their thoughts are evil, how does that affect the behavior? So that's stage one, right? You think it, then you do it, okay? And so they were acting it out, too. They weren't just thinking about it. And so God didn't spare the world, okay? I mean, He created the world. You know, it was His project, and it turned out bad. So it's kind of like the potter and the clay. You know, it didn't turn out right. You kind of hammer it down and start all over again, all right? And, you know, and Noah's building this ark. Can you imagine the flack that he got for that? How long? I don't keep track of this, but was there some spring that it seemed like it rained forever? Is it ever going to quit? Okay, we'll pick on Bob. I haven't picked on Bob here for a couple of days. We're going. Bob starts building an ark in the backyard. First of all, it's the neighbors that are snickering and laughing and pointing at him, you know, and then they're telling their friends and family, and pretty soon there's a pretty steady stream. Cars coming down the road, going to look at that huge ark. What's he doing that for, you know? Okay, and then we're handing out flyers, pamphlets here. You know, this is why we're doing this, you know. And, you know, they just thought it was a big joke until it started raining. Yeah, Gail? Yeah, right. Well, it'd be kind of like, well, for some people, you know, that have grown up down south or whatever, they may have seen it on TV or whatever, but never really seen snow. They're blessed. Yeah, first time for everything. Yeah, but the thing is, it didn't stop. You know, sometimes we think when it starts snowing, is it ever going to stop? But we see that. So God judged the angels. You know, he's starting in his own household. Okay, he didn't just look at the neighbors and see what they were doing wrong. And he judged the angels, he judged man, he judged the earth. And then he zeroes in on Sodom and Gomorrah. Doesn't that sound like today? You know? I mean, not just if you live in Wauwatosa and what they're going to teach your kindergarten kids in school, but, I mean, it's all over the place. And God didn't spare them. And rained down fire and brimstone, turned the place to an ash heap, and because of their behavior, their ungodly behavior, that's, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. You know, that's where we got the word sodomy, you know, homosexual behavior, and God, you know, made an example out of these folks, and he destroyed the city. And God's not changed his mind about that kind of behavior, saying, well, I've had a while to think about that, and maybe it's not so bad after all. No, he's not changed his mind. Man is just, you know, going to go his own way, do his own thing. He, you know, and if we don't, we can say, well, I don't believe in God. Does that change anything? No. That's like saying, well, I don't believe in policemen or police force, or I don't believe in laws. Well, it doesn't change anything. You're still going to be held accountable to it. And so we see here the total destruction of these cities. What do you think about Lot? Did maybe he overstay his welcome there? Yeah. Yeah. You know, there should have been a time where, you know, we don't know all the details, okay? Well, but he owned apartment buildings, or, you know, he had businesses in the city and he had to be there to keep an eye on that. And, you know, we don't know what all was keeping him there, but there should have been a point at some point where you just kind of unplug and get out of there, because was it doing him or his kids any good? No. And so, you know, that wickedness was there, and ultimately God, he spared his life. I mean, he had to pretty much drag him out of town. He didn't want to leave. Is it possible to get kind of numb to that stuff? So, you know, I've said, I don't know. I always remember when I said something. I think it was maybe Wednesday night. You know, it's like, murder. Well, it's not okay. Well, we'll see on Monday morning how many got murdered in Milwaukee over the weekend. It's not if anything happened, it's just how many. You know? Mark? Yeah, God didn't call us to all live in little Christian communes. How do you think that would work? If we had some of John Hagee's money and went down the road down here and just bought all the houses and we turned that into Baptist Row and we were all neighbors, would we be all just loving one another? No. We all just drive up the street on Sunday and no. But he didn't call us to be in a Christian commune to separate ourselves from everybody else in the sense that we don't have any contact with them. But like Mark says, if the world and they are our best friends, you know, yes, and you know, this is not discounting what the Lord can do. You know, His Word won't return void. The Holy Spirit can work on their hearts and lives. You know, but sometimes we get the idea that we're going to save everybody. And it's all one way. We're going to bring all of them up. But does it work that way? No. That's why God tells us not to be unequally yoked. Because there's a good possibility that they're going to... The other side is going to drag us down, okay? And so we have to be alert to this so we don't set ourselves up for failure, okay? Yes, Mark?
Doesn't the Lord also teach us that unless you're led by the Spirit, your work is in vain?
Yeah, I mean, we're not to come at it just in our own human strength, thinking I'm going to turn this world around, you know? We need to have the Holy Spirit guiding us and helping us along. Oh, wow, our time's kind of flown here. Okay, anyway, God, look at verse 7. God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, or conversation, not just his vocabulary, but his way of life. For that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from the day to day with their unlawful deeds. Okay, it was having an impact on his life. Okay, and it wasn't good. 9, and the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know, God can deliver us, but we ought not to try to see how long we can stay, hold our breath and stay in amongst the sodomy or whatever. If God's trying to lead us in a different direction, make sure that He doesn't have to grab us by the scruff of the neck and drag us out of town. And again, same thing with our friendships, our relationships. God wants us to have an impact on the people around about us, but again, it's a two-way street, and if we're not careful, they're going to have a negative impact on us and drag us down. Be alert. Yes, sir.
I just think just like when I think about this, all these things that happen, it's like evidence that the rapture is going to like happen. They're all, on all these cases, they're all taken out. They're taken out. So, you know, as things get like, it's not going to get worse and worse. It's logical almost that would happen.
Yeah. We don't have a meter, okay? Here's the wicked meter, you know, and it gets to that certain point and God sends the flood, you know, not to say, okay, well, we got to hit that same mark before the rapture happens. You know, that's up to God, you know, but sure looks like you better have your bags packed and be ready to go. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of stuff coming together, you know. It wasn't that many, we got to quit here, but that many years ago that everything wasn't global, you know, that we're, One world government, one world religion, one this, that, and the other. Just like they're going to have during the tribulation time. So, all right. So we need to be ready, but we also, the Lord wants us to help be reaching out to others so that they aren't left behind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Help us to have our eyes and ears open, paying attention to what's going on. Then, too, to be observant of preachers as well, whether they're on radio or TV or stuff we get in the mail, internet. Not everything out there is right. There's false teachers out there, and we need to be alert to it so that we don't get sucked in by it. And Peter said it was happening in his day, and it's going to happen in our day, and we know it's here. Pray that you might use us also to help alert others that may be getting drawn into some of these false teachings. And we thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. Thanks for coming this morning.
Came back and apologized to his church, and I don't know if it was on TV or not, but he did come to his friend, his congregation, and apologize to him.
Yeah, that's true, and I should have brought that up.
I don't agree with his theology, because he's charismatic, but that's the only good thing. Jim Baker, or Tammy.
He went to jail for a while, didn't he?
Yeah,
they both. They got a divorce or something. Yeah. I don't know.
She's back out. I don't know if she's alive yet, but when they got divorced, she went on her own.